Connie Wilson is relaxing in her condo in Southern California with her beloved labradoodle, Jackson, when the email arrives. "Oh my gosh, Connie," a book club friend from Arizona writes. "Have you read Before We Were Yours?" It's June 2017, and the novel by Lisa Wingate is brand new. Connie has not heard of it. But faster than her pup can nudge her to play tug of war, she downloads a digital copy. In only 48 hours, she devours it, tamping down emotions as she reads. The fictionalized story about children adopted through the Tennessee Children's Home Society is oh so familiar to her. Connie's life is historic in a way she would rather have avoided. She is one of the last babies placed by the scandal-ridden orphanage. In her late 60s, when she, Lisa, and I meet, Connie is one of the youngest members of a unique and uncomfortable club, living adoptees connected to TCHS, people whose lives were irrevocably altered at the hands of Georgia Tan. For Connie and thousands like her, events that took place decades ago are difficult to place in the past. The effects remain ever present. On September 11th, 1950, just 2 months after Connie's birth, a criminal investigation into Tan's adoption practices was announced. Orphanage funds were cut, and the babies on hand were left in limbo. Connie's adoption was held up, and her guardianship was transferred from TCHS to the Tennessee Department of Public Welfare. That was when she joined the tail end of a decades-long line of sad statistics. Under the autocratic control of Georgia Tan, and thanks to her effective grip on look-the-other-way political and civic leaders, TCHS managed to operate in Memphis from 1924 to 1950 without scrutiny or interference. Approximately 5,000 children, many of whom were not actually orphaned, passed through the agency's doors. An unknown number, estimated at 500, perished in unregulated, often squalid, holding facilities. Others were delivered into homes that faced little to no scrutiny, to parents who, for a host of reasons, could not adopt conventionally. These real-life stories left their mark on ordinary people, now in the final season of their lives, as they pass along their experiences with TCHS and Tan's deeds to future generations through their personal accounts of what happened and through their DNA. A blend of what was happening in the world, from the Great Depression to World War II and the Holocaust, and including the stigma of unwed motherhood, led to the growth of Tan's network for obtaining and placing children. Poverty-stricken mothers gave up babies out of desperation. Unmarried young women were not allowed to keep their newborns because of the taint of illegitimacy. And poor parents, hard at work, often unable to afford babysitters, found their children lured from front yards and into Tan's chauffeur-driven black limousine as it glided around Tennessee and Arkansas. With her paid network of doctors, social workers, and even boarding house owners, Tan snatched babies up as soon as they became available. Some frantic birth parents, along with the occasional physician, attempted to challenge Tan, a stern-looking woman with short hair and glasses. Tan, however, had political clout and immense wealth built on the backs of children sold for profit, some of it from checks made out to her personally. With the help of her connections via Memphis Mayor E.H. Boss Crump, a political kingpin with powerful ties throughout the state, and others in positions of authority, she deflected inquiries with the ease of swatting a mosquito on a Tennessee summer afternoon. But now, in 1950, the year of Connie's birth, the end of Tan's reign of terror nears. Tennessee politics are changing. Crump is out. The new Tennessee governor, Gordon Browning, appoints attorney Robert Taylor to ferret out the grisly truth of TCHS's Memphis operations. He has already discovered damning evidence. Only a small network of co-conspirators know the truth. With the investigation underway, they flee into the crevasses of Memphis and disappear like rats running into the city's sewers. Although some community leaders, powerful, wealthy, political, have undoubtedly been complicit, all the blame is conveniently assigned to Tan. She holes up in her home, reportedly in the last stages of uterine cancer, too ill, it is said, to respond to the charges or face the public. Governor Browning releases Taylor's shocking initial report, which details Tan's years of nefarious dealings in the adoption market. She has, the governor reveals, made herself rich and completed an unknown number of horrendous deals involving flesh and blood products.